The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
That was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933, the same year that Washington, D.C. last hosted a World Series game. Tonight, the Fall Classic returns to the nation's capital, and the city is starting to believe the Nationals are a team of destiny. Today, we discuss how the Nats overcame huge odds to win Games 1 and 2, and whether they can take it all. It's Friday, October 25th. I'm Mina Kimes. This is ESPN Daily, sponsored by Indeed. Tim, where are you right now?
Well, I'm in my hotel room in Washington, D.C.
ESPN senior writer Tim Kirkjian is covering a World Series from his hometown for the first time in, well, ever.
I live about 20 miles from here, but with all the work I have to do, I didn't even have time to go home after coming back from Houston. And because the traffic's going to be so crazy and parking's going to be impossible, so just another reminder, there is no great advantage of having the World Series in your hometown when you still have to stay in a hotel.
Well, I know you've only been in D.C. for a few hours now, but what's the mood like in the city?
Well, it's pretty crazy. People are really getting excited. One of the ladies from the neighborhood grabbed me in the frozen food aisle recently at the Harris Teeter just to tell me, oh my gosh, I love the Nationals. I finally figured out why you love baseball after all these years. She said, I'm hooked. I have to watch every game. And that's kind of speaking for a lot of people in this area now. You give them a great team to root for, and they're all in.
So coming into this series, the Nationals were huge underdogs. Now they are up 2-0. What was it like watching those first two games in Houston?
I was shocked at what a big favorite the Astros were in this series, because I thought it was a coin flip, a toss-up series because of the starting pitching that the Nationals have. And given that since June the 1st, both teams basically have the two best records in baseball. So I'm not shocked that they won the first two games in Houston, but I am shocked that they beat Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander. That's the first time in their Astro history that those two guys have pitched back-to-back and lost consecutive games at home.
You mentioned that since June, these two teams have actually been pretty similar. But before the season, I think expectations couldn't have been more different, right? Especially given that the Nationals had just let their biggest star, Bryce Harper, walk to Philadelphia in free agency.
I disagree. I picked the Nationals to win the division this year. I also had the Astros in the World Series, and I knew the Astros were a better team going in, but I thought the Nationals would be really good this year, and they were just about what I thought they would be. They just kind of got there in a very unusual way, starting out 19-31 before they finally turned it on.
After that start, at the end of May, they had just a 1% chance of winning the World Series, according to 538. What changed?
Well, first off, they got Trey Turner back from injury. He missed 6 weeks after breaking his finger, like the fourth game of the season. He's their leadoff guy. He's their igniter. He's their speed threat. He is really good. Then Max Scherzer fouled a ball off his face trying to bunt, and he ended up with three colored eyes, black eye, blue eye, and brown eye. He went out and just dominated.
He struck him out looking. A fastball at the knees. Strikeout number 15 for Max Scherzer with his game of the year.
And I think the team kind of followed that. And then they picked up Gerardo Parra in an acquisition, and he came in, and everything became really fun on this team. He's a really fun little guy, and the whole baby shark thing took off. And then everyone started dancing in the dugout, which I was not ready for.
This is not a mirage. Steven Strasburg is dancing in the Nats dugout.
And I just threw up my hands when I saw Steven Strasburg, who's awfully reserved, dancing in the dugout after a home run he hit in Atlanta. And I said, all right, this is a completely different team than any Nationals team I've seen since they moved back in 2005. They're really enjoying this. They're really having fun. And they're really talented.
Baby Shark is Parra's music, right, when he walks up?
Yeah, everybody just kind of grabbed that. And now when he comes to the plate or anybody gets a hit, everyone in the crowd, everyone in the dugout does the Baby Shark and the Mama Shark. and the daddy shark. I don't even know how all this works. I'm too old to figure this out, but it's really caught on here.
How does the song go again?
I can't even sing it because I can't sing, but
it's the baby shark
thing. And I can't do it. I don't have
you
a
can't do
memory.
It.
Baby shark doot 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 doot. Baby shark doot doot. God, that was terrible. I can't believe you made me do that.
I think you nailed it, honestly. So it does. Yeah, it does feel like this team, this particular iteration of the Nationals, has a culture that's almost different from how it's been in the past. No.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Bryce Harper had something to do with that. Now, let's be clear here, Mina. They're not better because he's not there anymore, okay? They would love to have him back, and they would be a better team with him on it, period. When he left, I think a bunch of the other guys said, all right, we have a different clubhouse now. And I think a few of them came out of their shell a little bit more personality-wise, and they've somehow, through a bunch of wins, have made it a better clubhouse in attitude, atmosphere, and everything.
Well, Tim, in Harper's absence, one of the new stars is Juan Soto, who turns 21 years old today, which means he can indulge in the champagne celebration if it comes to that. What has he brought to this Nationals team?
Well, he's brought a middle-of-the-order presence to their lineup. He is a great young hitter. Three 20-year-olds have hit cleanup in a World Series game. Ty Cobb, Miguel Cabrera, and now Juan Soto. And hitting cleanup, he got three hits in his first World Series game, hit a home run to left center field.
1-0 from Cole, a fastball lifted high and deep. Left center field. This ball's got some carry, and this ball is gone. Juan Soto to left center field hits it a ton, and he has tied the game at two.
People in Houston will tell you they've never seen a left-handed hitter hit it up on the train tracks like Juan Soto did. He has a plate discipline and a control of the strike zone like almost no young hitter I've ever seen. It is phenomenal. He's so smart. He's so good, and he's going to be a great, great hitter for a long, long time.
After the break, Tim Kirkjian tells us whether he thinks the Nationals can finish the job.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast. From healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Another 2-2 and a swing and a weak ground ball towards third. Charging Rendon, fires to first in time to get Marisnik, and that's the ball game. The Washington Nationals come to Houston, and they take both. And the Nationals are going home singing, up 2-0.
Tim, you've covered many World Series, but in some ways this one might be the most special for you. Why is that?
Well, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area in Bethesda, Maryland. I grew up a big Senators fan, like all kids when they were, you know, really young. The team moved when I was 14 years old, which was really unfortunate. I cried like a baby. I also went to Walter Johnson High School, named after the greatest senator of all time, not to mention the greatest pitcher of all time. I wrote for the school paper. It was called The Pitch. I did some work for the yearbook. It was called The Wind Up. So there are all sorts of connections that I have to this World Series. And I've never had anything like this before because, again, my hometown team has played the World Series since 1933.
What has life been like for baseball fans in D.C. over the years?
Well, for really old ones like me, it hasn't been real great. I mean, the Senators moved to Minneapolis when I was 3 years old. And then when I was 14, as I said, they lost another team. So they lost two teams in 11 years. So that's why this is so special, is that these people have never seen a World Series here, most of them. And then when the Nationals did come back, they also lost three horrendous Game 5s in the playoffs. And people were wondering, is this organization cursed? Could they ever win a big game? And now it appears, whatever it was, the curse has been lifted, because now when you look around, there is destiny everywhere around here. There's all sorts of magic going on. There's all sorts of karma going on. So maybe those terrible losses earlier have done an awful lot to change, you know, the way this team looks at things.
2012 was a particularly heartbreaking season for the Nats. Steven Strasburg was on that team, but what happened?
They shut him down in September that year because they decided in March that was the best thing to do. They didn't know they were going to be that great. And they were a year ahead of schedule, and they were going to protect their star pitcher, their golden arm. And I still kind of admired that they did that. This was not the dominant Steven Strasburg that we see today. He had struggled the second half of the 2012 season, and they just wanted to make sure he would be okay. And anyone who thinks, oh, they would have won the World Series if they hadn't shut Strasburg down, that simply wasn't the case. He's basically their best pitcher now, 7 years later, as they try to win a World Series. So it's kind of come full circle. It certainly will come full circle if they win the World Series.
What do you think the team's chances are of closing this out?
Well, I refuse to believe that the Astros are going to go quietly. The Astros won 107 games this year. They are really good, and they have loaded pitching lined up still. But I think this is the year the Nationals are going to win, and they proved that to me in the two games in Houston. Those were two losable games, believe it or not, but they came back to win, and the way they won game two with Kurt Suzuki, who said he hadn't barreled up a ball in months, it's a home run off of Justin Verlander. That's another sign that something really, really special is going on here. So my guess is they're going to close this out, and they're going to clinch it home, which I think would be very fitting for a team that hasn't won the World Series since 1924.
You love baseball more than anyone I know, but you have not ever seen a World Series game in your hometown. What do you think it's going to be like tonight?
Well, it's going to be tremendous. Again, Ryan Zimmerman has told me several times he's never seen a crowd like this in Washington, and it's for obvious reasons. Everyone is now realizing that there's something going on here, whether it's destiny or fate or whatever. And I think it'll be crazy. They'll sell it out, of course. It'll be an energy here that we haven't seen in a major league game here, maybe ever. And I can't wait to see what it's going to be like. I have some relatives going. I bought tickets for like $1 million just to get them in the ballpark. But it's really worth it, especially for the people who were here for the Senators and for the Senators of the 50s who moved in 1961. So it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people around here.
What would it mean to the 14-year-old version of you to see a World Series game in D.C.?
I've been very cautious about this. I was taught by a sports editor at age 21, you're not rooting for anybody. You're not rooting for anything. You're not taking anything free from anybody. So honestly, I'm not rooting for anyone to win. But I am rooting for a great story. The Cubs in 2016, that was a great story. The Astros in 2017, having never won, that was a great story. This will be an equally great, if not better, than the Astros story because of how long it's been. So for me, I'll think back to when I was just a little kid growing up here and the team was so bad. So I'm sure I'll get a little special thrill inside, but trust me, I'm not rooting for anyone. I just want to watch some good baseball, and I'm sure I will.
Back in a moment with one more story. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors,
all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast. That was a story you needed to know. Now here's one I want you to know. Last Thursday, when Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes injured his knee while playing the Denver Broncos, a couple things happened. One, NFL fans freaked out. Not just Chiefs fans or Patrick Mahomes fantasy owners, but anyone with a pulse and a heartbeat and a cable subscription, because Patrick Mahomes is arguably the best thing that has happened to this sport in years. I mean, in the heat of the moment, I might have volunteered my own kneecap, and you know what? I don't regret it. It's not like I'm using it to do this podcast. The other thing that happened, people started talking about the Madden curse. Now, if you've never heard of it, game maker Electronic Arts started putting players on the cover of their annual NFL video game 20 years ago. And after a few of those players went down with injuries or struggled, an urban legend was born. The cover of this year's edition is, you guessed it, Patrick Mahomes. Now, the company denies that the curse is real, and so do the athletes. Here's Madden 18 cover boy Tom Brady.
Now, I've heard there are some of you out there who might be worried about something called the Madden curse. There's no such things as curses. It's a total myth, okay? I feel like you're not really getting it. See? All good. No curse. All good. We got this.
But I'm not convinced. CBS Sports' Cody Benjamin examined the evidence and found that 9 of the 10 cover athletes from 1999 through 2009 were either injured or struggled the following season, including Dante Culpepper, Michael Vick, Vince Young. I mean, the game's first star, Barry Sanders, actually retired after he made the cover before the season even began. So did the curse hit Mahomes? It's too early to tell. He was having a great season before last week, and he actually came back to practice this week, which is bananas, so it's not impossible that he could return to the field sooner rather than later. But as much as I love watching him play football, and as much as the Chiefs need him to stay atop their division, I would advise the team to exercise extreme caution. The curse is a powerful thing, and I wouldn't test it, or at least put it off until after Halloween. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Michael Baltierra, Max Brodsky, Alexander Hyacinth, Michael Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Christopher Tuminello, and Aaron Vale, made in association with Magnificent Noise. And I'm Mina Kimes. I'll talk to you Monday.